The Brooklyn Dodgers brought a farm team to Danville. And I said to my father, I said, I would sure like to be a bat boy. He said, well, why don't we go ask? So we met with the general manager, Bill Everly. I believe it was the downtown basement at the Hotel Wolverd, I remember right. And I interviewed, and I don't know if anybody else interviewed or not, but I got the job. And I was 13 going on 14. And so that's how the whole thing started. And so Danville rejoined professional baseball in 1946. They'd been in professional baseball back in the 20s and 30s, and they played in what is now the Veterans Administration or Danville Junior College. It was called the Soldiers' Home at that time. And they were a Cardinal farm team, and they were part of Branch Rickey's huge farm system. And in the process, he met a fellow named Kish Bookwalter, who was a lawyer in Danville. Well, when Branch Rickey wanted to put a minor league team in somewhere in Danville, he called Bookwalter, and that's how they got started, and that's how we had a team in Danville, and they built a stadium on the south side, and away we go.
What was the appeal of Danville to have for the Dodgers to, you know, have a farm team?
Well, I think Bookwalter and others, there were other gentlemen who were involved, were interested in a farm system team coming to Danville. And at that time, Danville seemed to be ready. It was post-war, or right after World War II, and it was post-war. And so because Rickey was looking, and he called Bookwalter, and then that's how they got together. And it worked out well for the Dodgers for 5 years. And then attendance dwindled, and then they went to do other things. So now, when the 3I League started, along Danville, they were the Dodgers. Terre Haute had the Phillies. Evansville had the Braves. Davenport had the Pirates and then later the Cubs. Waterloo with the White Sox. Springfield had the Browns. And Quincy with the Yankees. And then Decatur had the Cardinals. And in all those teams, there were people who eventually made the big leagues. For example, Whitey Herzog, who we just admitted to the Hall of Fame, he played at Quincy. Hank Maurer, Tommy Kubek played at Quincy. Danville in 1946, Carl Abrams, who was a center fielder, Toby Atwells was a catcher, Presto Ware was the first baseman. They all made the big time. And then in 47, probably the best of all was a fellow named Carl Erskine, who joined Danville at the end of 46. He got out of the Navy, and he was there and won three and lost three. Come back then the next year, was 16-7, and then his career progressed to the point from there to Fort Worth to Montreal to the big time. And one time he set a record of 14 strikeouts in a World Series against the New York Yankees. Evansville had a manager named Bob Coleman, who managed about 30 years. And he wore, he was a heavyset fella. He never wore spikes, always wore house slippers, which was a little unusual. And we had an interesting situation happen. They were in Danville, and they traveled with a van and trailers. The rest of us traveled in buses. And they had a fellow named Del Crandall catching for Evansville. The Evansville brass came in, watched Del Crandall play. He left Danville that night and went to Milwaukee, and then the rest is history because he was quite a Major League Baseball player.
Well, let's go back to talk about your experiences. So you were a bat boy in the first season at
Yes,
at Danville
I was
State.
A bat boy 46, 47, 48, and then I worked in the office for 2 years, and then I worked off and on for the other teams that came in the Class D leagues that came in later.
Do you have any particular memories of exchanges with some of these ball players?
Well, our manager was Paul Shervinko, little short, heavy set fella, and he made it very clear that every foul ball, I was supposed to go get it. Well, sometimes they went down the right field line where the Knothole gang was, and there were some kids that would get it and get over the fence before I got down there. But that was my job. The first game we played in Danville, they hadn't got it completely finished. And so we go after foul balls at home plate. We had to run on two-by-eight boards, and of course, otherwise it was off in the mud. But and they played their first series in Terre Haute. And as the story goes, it had a little fight the first game. There was a pitcher named Dick Quecker who eventually made the big leagues with the Phillies, lost a couple of teeth. Well, it turned out that our manager had swollen fist. Now, whether he did it or not, I don't know. They claimed that he got hit with a billy club. I don't know what the real story is, but Shervinko took credit for it anyhow. It was a good Class B league. And one interesting sidelight to that is in 47, Branch Rickey was looking for a place to put a couple Negro ball players, Don Newcomb and Roy Campanella. He called Bookwalter. Bookwalter didn't think Danville was ready. So he sent him to Nashua, New Hampshire, another B-League. And this is chronicled in their books, both Campanella. And I think back, wouldn't that have been a wonderful experience if they had come to Danville and I would have known Campanella and Newcomb? But it wasn't to be, not in that time.
But did you get to know Erskine or a couple of those that were part of it?
See, I got to travel a little bit. I usually make one time all the way around. Sometimes there were fans who were very loyal. They would go and say, you want to go? Yeah, I said, okay. But then I would go with the team on occasion. Carl Erskine was a real straight shooter, a very, very Christian fella. And he and a couple others, they looked after me. In other words, they didn't go to the bars and whatever it may be. These older fellows did. So they looked after me. So I got very close. And as it turned out, Carl Erskine got married at the time when they were in Danville. So it was been very close.
So I'm sure you tracked the careers of some of these folks once they made the big leagues. Were you ever able to communicate with them again once they became stars?
Well, not really. One interesting thing we had in the 50-year reunion in 96, we invited as many back as could. One that came back was Cal Abrams, who was the original center fielder, a boy from Brooklyn. And I had retired by then from education. And so we were at a little social hour, and his wife said to Cal, you know you're old when your bat boy's retired, which was true. And, of course, Toby Atwell played with the Dodgers and the Pirates. And then Wally Morin, I played in Denver about 49. He ended up with the Cubs at one time.
Late 40s, I assume you had pretty good crowds for minor league games?
Yes, they did, but it just sort of dwindled, and that's why they left. And the stadium is a wood stadium. It would not pass muster for today's minor leagues because they require too much. Attendance was good. We had some very loyal followers, and we had a number of people that would travel. You'd see them in Evansville, or you'd see them in Terre Haute, you'd see them in Decatur or Springfield. Some of them planned their business trips around that. By the time the fifth year, the attendance had dwindled, and I don't think ever the attendance was quite as good as it is now with the minor leagues, because the promotions and the money that's is just unbelievable, even for the minor leagues and even for the independent leagues that they've got going, which I thought would never be successful. But some of them have been, some of them haven't been. But they've done a good job at Danville with a college league team. Jeannie Cook has done a fantastic job, and they've had a lot of success, the Dans have, in their league, and their players have gone on and done well.
Did you just take it upon yourself to be kind of a historian of this, or did somebody tell you, you know, we need someone to compile some stuff?
No, see, I was in education for 35 years. I was a teacher, coach, and a high school principal, elementary principal. And when I finally had time when I retired, I always wanted to write a history of the league. And it's a statistical league. It's not a lot of fluff and so forth, and not a lot of tidbits about this guy or that guy. It's primary statistics. I talk about the number of teams are in the league and the years they played and who were their sponsor, who was the major league team. I talk about the various managers that they had. A very interesting part, I talk about the team names. Now, we hear the Dodgers and the Cardinals and the Cubs, but how about the Bloomers and the Hottentots and names like that? Those are some of the names. Bloomington were the Bloomers. And there's a whole flock of different names that they had during the year. And then I tried to record by using baseball guidebooks and so forth for every year from 1901 to 61, all the players, who was the average, the teams, and this sort of thing.
Being involved in education so long, did you have any good teams with the high school or wherever that
Yeah, that you were able to I had one good team. And when I first went to Crescent Iroquois High School, the previous coach had left me eight position players. I only had to figure out who was the right fielder. And so it's interesting. We had a great year. We were 17-1. We beat Donovan 3-2 at Donovan. And we come down to Danville to play in the regional. And who would he play but Oakwood? And who was pitching? Tommy Fletcher. Well, I don't know exactly how all that happened now, but we got a runner on base, and I had a guy who couldn't hit his hat size. I had him bunt, and he bunted, and Tommy come in and picked it up and hurried and threw it away, and it put people in a scoring position, so we beat him 5-2. Then who beat us the next day? Diamond beat us 1-0. So that's a highlight of my baseball coaching career.